Good morning. This morning we're continuing our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus. Just as a reminder of what we've done already, Philip kicked it off with I am the way, the truth and the life. No one come to the Father but by me. Derek talked about I am the bread of life. Will, under very different circumstances, talked to us about I am the light of the world. And Richard reminded us last week about Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. I thought I'd choose an easy one. I am the gate. And it's only four verses. So let's just have a read of our Bible reading this morning. And it follows on from the reading about the healing of the man born blind. And Jesus had already carried out this miracle. And in John chapter 9, verses 35 to 41, we read, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out of the synagogue. And when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Quite an interesting response he gives. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, What, are we blind too? And Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you can claim you can see, your guilt remains. And then just on to the next chapter, John chapter 10 and verses 7 to 10. And Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Then he says, Therefore Jesus said again, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So as we start to look at this passage together, it's always good to try and get things into context. Why was Jesus saying these words and who was he saying it to? And the context is actually what we've been seeing in the video today and what we've been reading there about the healing of the man blind from birth. And Jesus had healed him, and the Pharisees weren't very happy about it. Because the Pharisees actually wanted to discredit Jesus. They were doing all that they could to try and shut this man Jesus up. And so they began to question what had happened. Because the man had actually been healed on the Sabbath, and that went against all their laws. So they weren't very happy at all. And in chapter 9 and verse 22, it says that the Pharisees agreed that if any man would confess Jesus as Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And so they began to argue about what had happened. And they called the boy's parents and said, "Is this your son? Has he really been blind from birth?" And they weren't very happy at all. And they questioned him, and his parents said, "Well, he's old enough. Let him answer for himself. Why do you think he said that?" Well, they didn't want to get themselves in bother and be thrown out of the synagogue and all that that meant. So they passed the book, as it were. And they actually questioned then the man. And after many questions, they actually threw him out of the synagogue. Now, to you and me, that might not seem very important. But for someone to be thrown out of the synagogue, it wouldn't just mean that they couldn't go to church on a Sunday, but it would mean all the things that they would be able to do as a Jew, they couldn't do any longer. People would cut them off. People wouldn't speak to them. They may well not have been able to get employment. So it was a big thing, being thrown out of the synagogue. Now, last week, Richard talked to us about Jesus being the good shepherd. Jesus being the one who cares for his sheep. Jesus being the one who provides for his sheep, who leads his sheep, and whose sheep know his voice and follow him. So here we have Jesus, the caring Jesus, looking after his sheep. And here we have the Pharisees, who were totally different. The Pharisees actually were meant to be shepherds of their flock. They were meant to look after their flock, the shepherds of Israel, those who care for, protect, and nourish a people. But instead, they expel the man from the synagogue and from their community, refusing to believe that Jesus and his healing work come from God. They were more concerned about guarding their power and authority than about the well-being of the people. Think about politicians. I could say that about them, couldn't I? Not just in our country, but around the world. They're more concerned about guarding their power and authority than about the well-being of the people. Maybe that's a bit unfair. I might be a bit cynical. But as far as the blind man is concerned, the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees couldn't be more stark. And we find that Jesus actually seeks out the healed man. He'd been thrown out of the synagogue, but Jesus goes out of his way to find him and to speak to him. It's quite interesting what Jesus says to him. He says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man didn't really know who Jesus was. He knew that he'd been healed, and Jesus had healed him. But he says, "Sir, who is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one who is speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshipped him. So for this blind man, receiving his sight, bear in mind he'd never seen before, was a big thing. But he'd also received his spiritual sight, recognizing who Jesus was and believing in him. And Jesus brought him into the community of believers. So this man followed Jesus. He heard his voice and he followed him, and it led to a new life. His days of isolation were over, and now he knows himself to be a valued member of the flock of Jesus, cared for and protected. Jesus had restored him and he'd healed him. And Jesus is the same shepherd who seeks out you and me, who has come to save us and forgive us, to restore us. And it said, despite all that, the Pharisees did not understand. He told them he was a good shepherd, and they did not understand. Now, in our Bible, we've got chapter 9 and 10, where it flows through. But really, it's just a continuation of the same conversation. There's no break. So Jesus immediately launches to talk to the Pharisees about sheep and about gates and about shepherds, and relates it to his act of giving sight to the blind man. So Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep." There's a picture there of the sheep pen. And there was once a man who'd gone out to see this for himself. And he saw the sheep in there and said, "Where's the gate?" "Well, there isn't a gate. There's only a hole in the wall." And that's a picture of the sheep pen. Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." Now, why is it important about what the Pharisees done? Well, it's important because of this. Instead of rejoicing that this blind man had experienced God and been healed, the Pharisees threw him out of the synagogue, effectively saying, "You can't come to God." They were trying to be a door to God themselves. And this is where Jesus comes in very forcefully and says, "I am the gate for the sheep." Now, the Greek word, thyra, and that's the only Greek that I know, apart from Omega, Alpha and Omega, so I don't know any Greek. But it typically means door, opening, or entrance, or gate. It can be interpreted gate or door. Now, why do we have gates? Anybody like to tell me, why do we have gates? If you go get, who's got a gate at home? Right, why do you have a gate?
Keep the dog in the garden.
Keep the dog in the garden. Okay, so stop someone from getting out then. Yeah? Why else might we have a gate? Yeah, stop people coming in who we don't want to actually come in. Well, Jesus said, looking at this picture, there was no gate as such, but Jesus said, "I am the gate." And in saying that, Jesus is saying he's not the destination, but he's the way in. Now, we saw last week this picture of the sheepfold, and the gatekeeper would allow the gate to open, as it were, by moving himself, so that the shepherd could bring his sheep into the fold at night or take them out during the day. But actually, in the countryside, the historians have found evidence that when the shepherds put the sheep in at night, the shepherds themselves would lie across the front of this gate opening. They would effectively become the gate. So it can be a little bit confusing, can't it? Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, but also as the gate. Now, it can be hard to get our minds round. I'm a dad, but I'm also a son, and I can be both together. If you can understand that concept, it makes it a little bit easier to understand. When you came into church this morning, which door did you come through? This one. David came in through that one. And there's also another door at the side there. And really, if the doors are open, we could go in through any of the doors. It doesn't really matter. And some people outside of church will say that there are many ways to God. You might be a Buddhist, or you might have another religion. And people will say, well, if I'm good, God will let me into his kingdom. Or if I help others, or if I give to others, dare I say it, by coming to church, by praying, by following certain rules. All good things in themselves, but none of them will bring us into the kingdom of God. So Jesus says that he is the gate. Jesus is the only gate, the one and only. And Jesus is saying very clearly here, he is the way. Not all these other things that we've been talking about, but he is the way. Now, applying this to the people that Jesus was speaking to, we mentioned that the Pharisees were trying to decide for themselves who could access God. Jesus is essentially saying to them, I am the gate. I am the one who decides who comes in and goes out and who experiences God. And he contrasts himself with the Pharisees, saying, I am the door, not you at all. And verse 8 says this, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I wonder who Jesus is talking about there. Richard gave us a clue. It's not the ones that have come before, like Moses and Abraham, not the prophets there, but people were coming along and saying, I am the Messiah. Or they were trying to portray themselves as God. And Jesus is saying they're like thieves and robbers. I was reading a story about a woman who was laid in bed asleep, and she heard this voice saying, help, help. She turned to her husband, fast asleep as normal, wanted her husband, help, help. So she went downstairs, and as she got downstairs, she had a look and saw by the fireplace there was a man hung upside down. And it was a thief that had tried to get in and got stuck down the chimney. I wonder if she quoted this verse to him about thieves and robbers not entering through the door. In our church, not this church, but in the church generally, there are still people who are thieves and robbers who portray themselves at Jesus. Do you ever look at the internet and see these televangelists? And they say, well, you come to Jesus and he will make you wealthy and healthy. But they just want money for themselves, don't they? Thieves and robbers. So it could be the message that people are giving, but it could also be the fact that they're sort of discrediting Jesus totally. The thief only comes in to kill and to steal and to destroy. But thankfully, the sheep have not listened to their voice. Jesus says, I am the gate for all who believe. I am the gate Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Let's just think about that verse for a few minutes. This is an invitation to everyone. Even the Pharisees who were stood in front of him can come to Jesus through the gate. But they're unable to see Jesus as the gate and they miss him. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Very similar to what Philip shared with us right at the beginning of our series, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by me. So the invitation is given to all. Anyone who come to Jesus will be saved. It doesn't matter what the colour of our skin is, whether we are rich or poor, whether we're male or female, whether we're educated or uneducated, that's one for me, that's good, I'm pleased about that, or what we might or might not have done, Jesus said, whoever will may come. That means you and me, but also to those outside who do not yet believe. And the challenge to us is to share that message with others outside, with our friends, with our families, with our work colleagues. The phrase, they will come in and go out, is an expression of security and protection. And as Christians, if we enter through that gate, Jesus says we'll not only be saved, but we'll go in and out. So as we come to Jesus, we are safe in his presence and in his hands. But also we need to go out. The shepherd would lead the sheep out for new pasture. So he'd provide food for them. He'd lead them beside still waters. I'd provide drink for them. And the sheep are the ones who hear and listen to the voice of the good shepherd, have his protection, and to follow him, and who are led by him. If we enter through the gate, Jesus gives us, he says, a full life. I wonder what that means to you. Does it mean a happy life? A healthy life? A wealthy life? It could mean some of those, but that's not really what Jesus is talking about. He talked about having an abundant life, a satisfying life, one which is pleasing to God. I can remember many years ago, a preacher who used to come to our church was very wealthy. And another chap who goes to the same church came a few weeks after. He says, you know, we've got someone in our church and he's really wealthy, but he's miserable. And wealth couldn't buy him happiness at all. Jesus talked about having a life which is full and satisfying, one which is pleasing to God, where Jesus is at the centre of that life. Unlike the thief, Jesus is focused on the welfare of the sheep, you and I, providing for us, keeping us safe, leading us on, being in every situation that we face. So what does it mean for us as followers of Jesus today? In our context, to be protected by the gate and the shepherd and to be saved and to have life in all its fullness. Well, we are the sheep. We are God's sheep and gone astray, but God forgives us. But as we enter into the sheep pen, we have eternal life. But it goes beyond that. It's not just a life in the future that we can look forward to, but it's life here and now that God wants to bless us, that God wants to shower his love onto us, and that God wants to help us to share the message with others. And such, we need to listen to his word, to trust what he says, as we read it in the word of God. Can we say today that the Lord is my shepherd? If not like the healed man, Jesus is seeking those who do not yet know him, but they need to enter through the gate. That may be you this morning. You may have been coming to church for a long time, but never actually entered through the gate. Jesus welcomes everyone who is willing to hear his voice and respond to it and enter through the gate. For those who have already asked Jesus to become their shepherd, may our prayer be that we will be those who will listen to Jesus, who will trust him, who will follow him, and be led by him in every part of our life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that there is only one way to you, through Jesus. And we thank you that he has laid down his life for each one of us, so that we might be made right with you. And whatever our relationship is with you this morning, we pray, Lord, as John prayed in his prayers, that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon us, and that he would lead us as we go out into the world this week. May we be aware of you leading us as our shepherd and of your care for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.